All right. Good morning, everyone. I hope you guys are doing well, keeping dry. We just want to welcome you to BAC this morning. If you've never been with us before, we thank you so much for coming and joining us as we worship Jesus together. Welcome you here at BAC. And if you're new with us, if there's someone around you, you can say hi to them as we go on through this worship service. But just want to give you a warm welcome this morning from BAC to you. We are continuing on in our sermon series, going through the I Am statements of Jesus in the book of John. There are seven of them, like we've been saying. Last time we were talking about through this series, it was Jesus' statement that he is the door or the gate. And it is this metaphor of him being the gate is part of this bigger metaphor that Jesus is a shepherd. Now, we mentioned that when Jesus says he is the gate, last time we mentioned that he is talking about what shepherds do to literally become a gate for their sheep pen or sheep fold. And at night, the shepherd would draw and herd all of the flock of sheep into the sheep fold, and he would lie down in the opening, the small opening there, he would lie down or sit there and he'd fall asleep. And he'd literally become a gate for the sheepfold. He keeps the sheep in for their protection and rest, and he keeps the thieves and the predators out, right? This is what shepherds do back in the day. Now, when Jesus says he's the gate, he's saying that he's that shepherd that watches and protects these sheep, that he has gathered into sheepfold. He's gathered them in there for their flourishing and for their lives and for their protection. And when they, when you enter through Jesus into his sheepfold, he says, I'm here to give you life and to give you life to the fullest. Right? And that's kind of what we talked about last time. So today, this morning, I have the honor of being able to continue on in this particular passage in John 10. So we will talk further about Jesus as the Good Shepherd. So if you have your Bibles with you guys, turn to John 10. We're going to be reading from verse 11 to 18. If you have your devices, your Bibles, please keep that, open it up, keep it open. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. We'll read this passage and we'll pray and we'll get going. So if you can stand with me as we read this passage. And I'm going to be reading it to you once again from the English Standard Version. Verse 11 says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, but I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. And for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you, Jesus, for your words to us, Lord, that we get to read it. We get to see it for ourselves, what you say to us. And I pray, Lord, that God, you would breathe life into these words. And that we would come away from this looking into your word and listening to your word, that we come away from it just with a renewed desire and longing to follow where you lead us. So Lord, help us. Open up our eyes to your scripture this morning. Open up our hearts to your spirit as it works into our souls and our hearts. And that you would change us as we leave this place. That we would live this out in our lives. So Lord, speak to us this morning. I pray that you would be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please have a seat. Now, I'm not an animal expert, animal behavior expert, by any stretch of the imagination, but we all have a pretty good idea of what sheep are like, right? The nature of sheep. Like sheep have a, we know that sheep have a really strong impulse to follow their leader, right? If one sheep goes somewhere, the rest of the sheep are going to follow. Back in 2005, there was this story here. Turkish sheep die in mass jump, okay? Now, this story made international headlines. This is BBC. And so in Turkey, around 450 sheep, there's 1,500 sheep in this flock of sheep. One day, they're walking along beside this cliff, and one of their sheep, they say, life sucks. He jumps over the cliff. He goes, bah, jumps over the cliff. And then the rest of the sheep follow him. They see this guy. He's a leader. They follow him, jump over the cliff. So 450 of these sheep die, okay? And then the rest of them followed, the rest of the 1,100 sheep, 1,000 sheep, they follow, but because these 450, because sheep are, you know, soft and fluffy, they cushion the fall of the other 1,000 sheep, and the other 1,000 sheep survived, okay? So 450 of these sheep died, the rest of them survived. Now, I tell you this story, not because of the sacrifice piece of like Jesus sacrificing for us. Like I'm telling you this piece, which he did, but I'm telling you this story because Jesus is like comparing us to these sheep, and that we need to follow some sort of leader, and to bring to your attention that we need to follow some sort of shepherd. Otherwise, we're all just going to end up falling off this cliff, right? Isaiah 53 tells us that all we are like sheep who have gone astray. We have turned everyone to their own way. And so we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd. So the question is, like, who is our shepherd? Who is going to be leading us? This whole shepherd and sheep thing, this whole metaphor, I mean, if you think about it, it isn't actually the most flattering thing for us to be compared to sheep, right? Like, being called sheep isn't much of a compliment, right? Especially if you think about it in light of a story like this one in Turkey. You'll know that sheep, they ain't the sharpest animals in the barn, right? And if you think about it further, sheep are essentially defenseless animals. They don't have any natural defense system of their own, like other than maybe like chewing your shirt, right? They're not the fastest animals on the planet. But so sheep are really, really helpless creatures. And so what is this saying? What is Jesus trying to tell us in this particular parable? In this particular metaphor? Well, he's saying this. He's saying a shepherd needs a sheep. He's saying that we are spiritually hopeless. We are spiritually hopeless. We are completely dependent. And the sooner we realize this, the sooner we will give ourselves to follow the good shepherd, okay? Because here's the thing. If we're completely honest with ourselves, I think, and I know this is for myself too, I often think that we are more spiritual independent than we actually are. Like even though in those moments when we actually know we need more of Jesus, when we feel spiritually distant in our relationship with Jesus, I think we know more than we actually know. For example, say you feel like your relationship with Jesus isn't where it should be, and you know it, right? You know it. We've all been there. You might be there right now, right? Like how often do you actually turn to Scripture? Like, how often do you turn to prayer? Like, how often do you turn to your small groups to seek advice or guidance and leadership or just someone to walk with you through these things? Sometimes we think that none of this is going to help because we either stop participating or stop turning to these things or we do participating, not expecting anything to change in your life because we think that ourselves, man, we already know this stuff. I don't need to know anymore. I know enough. And so we are continually overestimating what we actually know or where our faith is at. We aren't actually dependent on Jesus. We're dependent on what we currently understand about Jesus, and that's it. Another preacher used this illustration. Like imagine yourself 5 years ago or 10 years ago, right? Some of you guys, like, 10 years ago, I was 5 years old. Right? That, you still think about this for a second. But your present self, Your present self thinks of your past, looks at your past self and says, man, what was I thinking? What was I doing? What was I thinking when I made that decision? Man, that was a stupid choice there. That was a bad choice there. That was a good choice here. Right now, in our lives, right, our present selves right now, as we're living in the here and now, man, sometimes we think, man, we're all that. We've arrived. We know so much. I wish I knew now what I knew 10 years ago. I wish I knew 10 years ago what I know now, right? But if you think about it, your future self is going to be saying the exact same thing about your present self. You know what I'm saying? So, like, your future self will be saying, man, like, look at me 10 years ago, like your present self, right? And you think, I wish I had guidance here. I wish I understood then what I understood now. We are utterly dependent. But sometimes we don't know it until it's way past the time when we should have realized it. We're sheep who are in utter need of a shepherd all the time. Sometimes, though, the issue isn't so much that we don't know we need a shepherd. Matter of fact, I think most of us do realize that we need some sort of guidance in our lives and in our faith, right? It doesn't matter if you're young or old. We all know we need some sort of help or leadership in our lives, right? And the question is, once again, so the question is, whose leadership are you under? Who is the shepherd in your life? And the thing is we don't need a shepherd who's going to lead us to death, right? We need a shepherd who is good and is going to lead us into flourishing and into life, right? Someone we can trust that this is what they're in it for. And Jesus is saying, I am that good shepherd. And so what is it that makes Jesus? What is it that makes Jesus a good shepherd? Well, he knows his sheep. As Jesus says, I know my sheep. Now, what exactly does a shepherd do? What exactly does a shepherd do? Well, the principal duty of a shepherd was to see that the sheep had enough food and water and to protect the sheep because they were easy prey for wild animals, right? We know that sheep aren't the smartest animals in the farm, and so they need leadership. They need guidance. Let me say this. Sheep in particular have required more care and attention than any other livestock, like cows or horses, for example, right? Like, shepherding is one of the oldest occupations in human history. You don't hear a lot about cow herds, or horse whisperers, even though those jobs exist, right? But sheep, they need a lot of care. Otherwise, you'd have a situation like we had back in Turkey in 2005, right? When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying that he knows his sheep. And he says in verse 14, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. But what's interesting about this idea of knowing the shepherd, is that it evokes is this really deep sense of relationship and intimacy. He says, I know my sheep, and they know me just like I know my Father, and my Father knows me. In other places in the Gospel of John, right, Jesus describes the same intimacy as like, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The Greek word that's used for is word gnosko. And in the New Testament, gnosko is typically used to talk about how we would normally think about, how we normally think about knowledge, right? We can know God's law, for example. We can know what God has done in history and in the Old Testament and what his demands are. We can read about it and study about it in this Bible and hear about it talk to us. We can roll out a scroll and have it read out to us. But isn't just about knowing stuff about God or knowing the Bible really well? And so when Jesus says, I know my sheep just like the Father and I know each other, he's not saying, like, I know the Father, that the Father created everything and that he's working in history to save this world and then he sends Jesus into this world to die on the cross and forgive us of our sins, right? Those are the facts and the basic knowledge of Christianity, right, of what we believe in. But it goes way beyond that. He's saying that in the Gospel of John, knowledge isn't just about knowing facts or information about God. It's about relational unity with God. It's about knowing God in a relational, deep sense. So, for example, When I say I know my wife, sure, it means that, like, I know what kind of food she likes. I know what kind of movies and music she likes. I know what her family history is. I know where she was born and the city she's lived in. I can tell you what makes her happy and what makes her sad. But I don't just want to know facts about my wife. I want to kiss her on the mouth. I want to enjoy her and be united with her in love and intimacy and deep connection and relationship. So when Jesus says, I know my sheep, and they know me, man, this is where he's going. This is what he's getting at. Just like last time we talked about Jesus as the door, the gate to life, he calls us into his sheepfold to enter through him the gate and to become part of his flock so that we can have this kind of gnosko, this kind of knowledge. It's like this complete trust that he is there to nurture and to protect and to feed us, to give life to the full and not to take life away, that he's in it so that you can have life. And this is the kind of knowledge that Jesus is talking about here. Earlier on in this chapter, Jesus speaks to this kind of knowing and what it's like. He says in verse 3, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his sheep by name and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. John Tyson, a pastor in New York, he says this. He puts it this way. He says that Jesus is making the claim that he will know us by name, that he will call us by name, and that his voice will be the loudest voice in our life. Right now, the reason this is important is that we have all of these voices in our heads, and sometimes they're trying to get us to listen to them and to follow them, and sometimes these voices can be really devastating. Some of you have degrees and careers right now because someone planted something in your mind that if you follow that voice, then that's when you really have value. Then that's when you won't bring shame to the family, right? This is when you are going to contribute to this world and to your family. And so you have, right now, you have jobs you hate, degrees that you don't want, because some voice was saying that that's what it took for you to be valuable. And it can be exhausting. Some of you have entered into relationships not because you love that person necessarily, but because there's a voice inside of you saying, like, no one is going to love you. And so the first person that comes along, you say, man, this is better than loneliness. And so you latch on and you're unhappy. All of these voices speaking into our minds and our hearts. But Jesus comes along and says, man, when you really hear my voice, you'll never want to follow those other voices again. My voice will be the loudest voice in your life. Jesus' voice can be heard in a couple of ways. And just to get really practical here, first way, the main way I'm going to talk about here is through the written word of God. And this is how we can hear Jesus' voice. And I don't need to tell you that it's so important for us to immerse ourselves and marinate in the written word of God, right? But sometimes we go through seasons in our lives in which it's really hard, it's really difficult, and the Bible reading is just not where it ought to be in our lives, right? So I'm going to give you a couple recommendations as a pastor, passing on to you. There's a couple of Bible apps out there that I want to propose to you because I've really been enjoying them lately. The first one is probably one that you already have on your smartphones, if you have a smartphone. YouVersion is great. You know this, but if you've used it before, but you can access any translation of the Bible in any language. You can easily switch from NIV to ESV to NLT, right, and back again. But one of the coolest features that I want to point out to you guys, too, is that as you're reading along, you can choose plans that you can follow. You can read the book, the entire Bible in a year. You choose all these plans. You can choose plans for specific seasons in your life. If you're just entering into married life, there's plans for that. If you're single, there's plans for that. If you're busy in life, and there's plans for that. There's all sorts of plans. But the thing I want to point to you guys is, if you open up a book and a chapter you want to read, there's a play button there. And you hit play, and you can have the Bible read to you. So if you don't actually like sitting there with a book, reading something, you can have the Bible read out to you out loud. And I often do that in my Bible reading, in my daily Bible reading. I'll have the Bible open, and I'll hit play, and I'll follow along the text on the screen. Just along those lines, similar to that, another Bible app that I've recently discovered is the Streetlights Bible. I don't know if you guys have heard of this. I've talked to a couple of guys about it before. Now, this might not be for everyone. I'm going to admit that right off the bat. But if this tickles your fancy, okay, Streetlights Bible app is essentially an audio version of the Bible. It's in the NLT, but with hip-hop beats backing it up, okay? It's awesome. It is amazing. All of the readers are Christian hip-hop artists and, like, spoken word artists. And so when they read it, it sounds really good, right? But I'll listen to this. So, if you like hip-hop, this is right up your alley. I love hip-hop, so this is right up my alley. But I'll listen to this often when I get into a car, whenever I'm doing chores, whenever I'm exercising, whenever I ride a bike. I'll throw this on, and I'm just listening to it. And again, I'll have it playing, for my Bible, daily Bible reading, I'll have it playing as I follow the text in my Bible, my physical Bible. But just immersing yourself in the written word of God whenever possible in the everyday moments of life. And it's changing my perspective on how my time is spent every day and what goes into my heart and my soul. But I really want to encourage you guys to check these out, right? Let the Word of God nourish you, wash over you in whatever way and whenever you can, right? These are just tools, right, at the end of the day. But any tool will help if it gets you reading His Word, listening to His Word, letting it soak into your soul. Not just to get good advice, right, whenever you read it and listen to it and study it and memorize and meditate on it. Not just to get good advice for your life. Not just to fill your head or information with knowledge about the Scriptures and so you know it better, which are good things, but even more so that you get to know and discern the voice of Jesus calling out to you loud and clear, and it drowns out, and then as you listen to it more and more, and it drowns out all the other voices that are fighting for your ear and for your attention. You let the Word of God soak into your consciousness, and in those moments of life when you hear all these different voices, you can enter into the presence of Christ in prayer, and you're in silence, right? And you're just listening for His voice, and then you can say then, man, this is Jesus' voice. That's not Jesus' voice. I know this voice. It's my shepherd's voice. I'm going to follow that voice. So the extraordinary thing about this passage is that it tells us that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows you. And He knows you by name, and He leads you out. So now the question is, do you know His voice? And are you following Him whenever He's leading you? He's trying to lead you. He's calling you by name. He's calling you forth. Can you hear His voice? And are you going to follow it? Second thing that makes Jesus a good shepherd is that good shepherds give their lives for their flock, for their sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And He says, no one makes me lay down my life. I'm going to do it on my own. I do it because I want to. I mean, so listen, this is an extraordinary claim, especially in light of what we just talked about, of how Jesus knows us. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows us. He knows everything about us. Right? There are things that people keep from even their spouses. Right? Amen. If you knew this about me, you'll leave me. Like all of us, I'm sure, have kept things hidden in the deep, dark recesses of our hearts. And we think, man, if anyone ever finds out about this, no one would want me. I mean, there's no way people would think of me the same way again. People will turn on me if they know this about me. But Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, He not only knows you inside and out. What He says then, what the extraordinary claim that he makes is he's going to lay down his life for you. And he's going to lay down his life for you willingly. He says, I'm going to do it on my own. No one tells me to do it. No one forces me to do it. I'm doing it because I want to do it. I have the authority to do it. And so Jesus is a good shepherd who willingly lays down his life for the life of his sheep. And he sees all of the good and bad in you, all of the darkness, all the brokenness and the weakness, all of the good things and all of the sin and rebellion that resides in our hearts. And he says, you are so valuable to me that I would die for you. I would give my life to you. You belong to me. And then he compares a good shepherd with a hired hand. He says he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the world snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Well, why this is important is because there are so many voices out there, like we've been saying. So many voices that are trying to lead you. Me, I'm a pastor, right? I'm not Jesus. I'm a hired hand. And so if one of you were caught in a burning building, I would love to say that I'm going to run into that burning building in there to save you. And I love you and all, but I'm a sinful, selfish human being at the end of the day. I might not do that. I might, but you can't really trust that, can you? I don't know that you can fully trust anyone in your life like this, 100%. No one's going to come to me after this and talk to me about their problems. No, I'll help you, okay? I'll help you whenever I can. I'm here to give myself to you. One thing, though, is I can't swim. And so if you're drowning, I can't go in there and help you with that. So anyways, there are so many voices out there trying to save you, or trying to lead you. But how many of those voices would ever die for you? How many of your friends would die for you? How many of your doctors and counselors, your pastors, past, present, and future? I mean, would your money and your job die for you? I mean, if you look at your friends to be your shepherd, even your parents, your kids, or even your spouses, right? If you look at anybody or anything to do this kind of leading in your life, to be your shepherd, you'll only find that a lot of those people will just bail when things get hairy. They'll just run when they're only in it for themselves and they're not getting what's theirs anymore. And a lot of them are like me. I'm a hired man. They're out when you need them the most. They're out of there. They'll never give you what you need. They might. But you can't fully trust that, can you? Jesus says the hired hand is only in it for themselves. You can't trust them when it matters. But not me. I love my sheep. I'm going to give my life for my sheep. And you know what he does? He goes out and gives his life for his sheep. He does the thing. He says, I would lose my life. I would lose my life than see my sheep lose theirs. Right? I'm going to lose everything I have. I'm going to give up everything rather than see my sheep perish. I would lose my life so that they can have it instead. You can trust that the good shepherd is going to lay down his life for you. Like what you said, he did lay down his life for you. I'm the good shepherd. You are my sheep. Man, what an incredible, amazing statement to make. Because you see, first of all, he knows us fully and completely. There's nothing about us that he does not know already. And secondly, in spite of all he knows about us, he values us so much that he would sacrifice himself anyways. And if you would admit to yourself that you are really our sheep and you really do need a good shepherd, that you really need to be led, that you really need to depend on a voice, that a voice that is really in it for your own good, to give life to you, not to take away life from you, and not to use you. And if you're willing to admit your need and you're willing to enter into this gate and into his sheepfold, this is what it means for you practically. You need to let him lead you. You need to let him lead you. And you need, in order for you to know, for him to lead you, you got to know his unique and distinctive voice. Right? So we already talked about this a little bit earlier. Soak yourself in the written word of God that's been proven by time to be internal and true and good, and it speaks to who the good shepherd is and what he says and what he's going to do for you and how he's going to rescue this world and bring in his kingdom and make present here in this all of creation. It is God's own word to your heart. Let it wash over you at all times and in as many ways as possible. And second, you need to listen for his voice. As you've immersed yourself in God's written word and internalized it, every time you enter into prayer, you just sit there and listen for his voice. You'll be able to hear it more clearly, more loudly than all the other voices in your head. Earlier in John, the Gospel of John, it says, Jesus himself is the word of God. This here is the written word of God. But God also reveals himself as in Jesus, the word of God, right? With a capital W. And the more you know of this, the clearer you will be able to hear this prophetic voice of Jesus as he speaks into your life and into your soul. So who is leading your life? Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows you and lays his life down for you. Do you know his voice? Is his voice louder than all the other voices in your head? And he's calling out to you to follow him and to lead you. So the question is, would you let him lead you? This morning, we get to celebrate and participate in the Holy Communion. We get to celebrate this Lamb. We get to celebrate the fact that Jesus is our good shepherd who calls us by name and leads us into the sheepfold, where we enter through him, the gate. But at the same time, we know that as the bread represents his body, which he gives for us, the cup represents his blood, which is shed for us. We know that he willingly gave his life, laid down his life for his sheep. But not only this, we also know that the Bible tells us that Jesus himself became the lamb that was slain. That he himself, who is the good shepherd, he himself became just like one of us, a sheep. And he was that lamb that was offered up as a sacrifice, bearing all of the punishment of the sin, of our sin and our rebellion, onto his body. Bearing all of that weight, that death upon his shoulders. So that his sheep would not have to. He substitutes himself for us. And this is what we come to remember and celebrate. It doesn't sound like a celebration, but it is. Because in the midst of that sorrow, in the midst of that doom and gloom, he rises 3 days, and the third day he rises to new life, and that we get to celebrate new life in him. A life where he is our king, where the good shepherd becomes our king and our Lord. And that there'll be one day where this kingdom will be a kingdom of no more sadness, no more tears, no more sickness. Everything will be made new again. So that's why this is a celebration. That's why this is a time of thanksgiving and joy, and of remembrance, yes, but even more so is thanksgiving and joy and celebration. So I'm going to ask the communion stewards to come forward. And I'm going to read to you guys a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians. And these are the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So I'm going to pray right now, but as we enter a time of prayer, I'm going to give you a moment just to set your heart right as we enter into this sacred moment of worship. Who is leading you? Who is your shepherd? Jesus, the good shepherd, is calling you by name. He's beckoning you, each one of us, to come forward and follow him into life. The fullest life, the most abundant life. What are the voices that you're following that are not, that don't belong to Jesus? And take this moment to give that to him right now. So Lord Jesus, you are so good. You are so good to us. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you know us, that you know every little detail of our lives, the good and the bad, the things to celebrate and the things to take shame in. You know it all. And yet you willingly would lay down your life for us just the same. You are so good. And I pray, Lord, for us, Lord, as we enter into this time of participating and receiving the bread and the cup, I pray that we would just know deeply within our hearts and our souls that this is what you did out of love and grace for us. That you would give your life, your body that's broken for us, your blood that was shed for us. We celebrate that this morning as we partake in the bread and the cup. And we say, and we declare with that, that Jesus, we want you to be our shepherd. We want you to lead us. We need you so much. We're utterly dependent on you for all of life. Would you give it to us? And I pray, Lord, that this morning that we would make that declaration as we receive the bread and the cup. And so we thank you so much because you are good. Amen. Amen. So how this is going to work this morning, if you've never been with us, this might not be